area of the future life. And we want to take our two sessions today and talk about the future life in terms of the intermediate state. And when I say the intermediate state, I simply mean this, that if we die as believers this morning, we have the assurance that we go to be with the Lord. And if you will turn to a key passage on that, I'm looking at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Now, there's always a lot of fear about things that are unknown. I always like to say there are kind of people, and I think most of us are this way, when something is about to happen, you like to have your ducks in a row. You like to have some idea of what is going to take place, what is going to happen. Occasionally someone will say, can I take you to lunch? And I always ask the same question, what do you want to talk about? And the reason is, I don't like surprises. I like to know, I like to think ahead, and I like to plan. I want to know if you're going to try to sell me something. I don't like to go to dinner when it was supposed to be just a friendly dinner, and suddenly at the end someone spreads out a proposal to sell me some insurance. I really resent that because I like to know ahead what's going down or what's going on. And if isn't it easier if the dentist just says, now this is going to hurt a little bit, but it'll be quick. And he takes both hands with the needle in them. And then it's all over. That's much better than being stuck without, no, or a doctor. I forget who it was. It's someone here who about a year ago had surgery. And they brought me this little sheet that you could tell they almost worshipped it. It had been folded. It had been unfolded. And it was the surgeon's diagram of what he was going to cut out from what and what he was going to connect where. And I couldn't believe how much relief. I looked at the little simple diagram, and it was a relief to know, okay, you're going to cut this, you're going to hook it onto this, you're going to staple this, you're going to glue this, you're going to put tape over this, you know, and so forth. And it's good to know ahead. Isn't it nice to know when you die, what is going to happen? God's Word has not left us in the dark on that subject. And there's a great bit of detail information. And so we can say this, that we're going to go, when we die, two places. One will be intermediate. The other will be final. If we should die this morning, we do not go over here to our final resting place. That is not true. And the reason that is not true is because your body, do you know the destiny of your body when you die? If you die this morning, do you know what's going? I bet some of you even paid for the spot, haven't you? You've got a plot. I have never, never wanted to do anything like that. When I die, that's the kids' responsibility. Whatever they do is fine. But there's no way that I shouldn't have got into this. There's just no way you're going to get $500 or whatever out of me that I could spend on my life for a hole in the ground. Okay, now... Some people love to plan. Some people are que sera, sera, and I happen to be in the latter category. So no offense if you have a plot, but I just can't bear to see a plot that someone says, that's yours. At any rate, we know where the body is going to go. It's going to go to the ground. And that's why that is not our final state. The body goes to the ground, it corrupts, it deteriorates, and that is not our final resting place at all. We go, however, at death to be with the Lord, and can you see why you call that the intermediate state? Between life on earth and our final home, there's an intermediate place that we go. And we're looking at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 6, you have a definition exactly as to what takes place when a believer dies. Verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we, notice that, at home in the body. And what does that describe right now? That describes where we are. We are at home in our bodies right now, this morning, at this moment. Now, at the same time, we are absent from the Lord. We're in our body. We are not with Him. Verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body, that's death, and to be at home with the Lord. So you see the two states that are involved. Right now, we are at home in the body. When we die, we will be at home with the Lord, but not in our bodies. And that is the subject of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we're chapter 5 that we're looking at. So we ought to then, as our first point, put down we are about to take up the destinies. Please note the plural. The destinies of the believer. And this is talking about death. And the first destiny is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And it is with the Lord / without our bodies. With the Lord, without our bodies. And that is the theme of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll work on that passage in great detail beginning in just a few minutes this morning. This is called the intermediate state. This is called the intermediate state. That is not a biblical term, but I think you can see it's a pretty good one because it expresses where we are in our soul and spirit while our body is in the grave. And so every single believer that has ever died, Paul, Peter, Luke, relatives of yours that are believers, are not in their final home. They are in their intermediate state. They are with the Lord. But the body, as you well know, can be located. You can find their bodies. And you can look at that body and say, there it is. It's in a box. It's not with the Lord. That's right. Because when we die, the body goes to the grave, but the soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord. Now, there's another passage on the same subject, and it is 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Now notice these verses begin by saying, I would like to dispel your grief with truth. And so he says, verse 13, we do not want you to be uninformed. And as we said on many occasions, when Scripture says, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed, it means you are. And I want to dispel it. So I do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. That's the dead believer. That you may not grieve as do the rest. In other words, this is information intended to dispel grief. Now, notice this passage, in contrast to 2 Corinthians, deals with the body. Because when we come to the 16th verse, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Nothing ever is resurrected. Nothing rises but bodies. Only bodies are resurrected. There are no resurrected souls, no resurrected spirit, only resurrected bodies. And they are dead, and they will rise in the Lord. And notice verse 18 with a further description, or verse 17, then we who are living and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, is this intermediate or eternal state? What are the next words? We shall always be with the Lord. So notice then, this is body, soul and spirit with the Lord.
And that is called our eternal state. That is called our eternal state. And both are important, and I think you can see the order in which we want to study them. We want to look at the intermediate state, and then we'll look at the eternal state. Now let's put these two in columns, and we'll put on the left features of the intermediate, and then features of the eternal. Or we're really comparing 2 Corinthians 5 to 1 Thessalonians 4. And let's note some of the characteristics of each state. The first one deals with the immaterial part of all of us, that is, soul and spirit. It deals with the immaterial part, that is, the soul and spirit. The second part, eternal state, deals with both. The first deals with immaterial part, our soul and spirit. The second passage deals with all of our being, body, soul, and spirit. The second comparison that is involved in these two passages is in terms of time. Now think of these two in terms of time. 2 Corinthians 5, does being with the Lord happen to us all at the same time? If it did, what would have to happen? We'd have to die at the same time, we wouldn't. So the time for everyone is different. The time is different. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the time is the same. Since in 2 Corinthians 5, we all die at different times, or will die at different times, you could put for yourself, if we knew those things, you could put a date in there, couldn't you? And the date in which you go to be with the Lord will not be the date that is the same as mine in all probability, nor your husband, nor your wife, nor your cousins, nor your sisters, nor your brothers. And if you have a family of three children and two parents, you're just almost certain that when each of them go to be with the Lord, it will be at a different date and at a different time. In general terms, I suppose we could say, the older you are, the closer you are to death. But don't count on it. Don't count on it at all. Babies die. And consequently, while the time is different, it doesn't necessarily mean because we're older, we're necessarily closer to the grave. I remember when the Hyatt Skywalks came down, I had just talked with a young man who was 25 years old. For most of his life, he had run. He said, my heart rate is about 45 beats per minute. I'm in the peak of health, and there I stand, probably with my heart racing on at double that pace, and probably a lot more cholesterol and what have you. That was over 10 years ago, and he is dead, and I am alive. So we don't know, but the time is different. The time is the same because this is an event. The Lord comes forth from heaven, the dead are caught up, and therefore somewhere down the line there's a date, and it's the same for everyone. And so if we can reduce it to the very simple, if we had the insight of God, he could turn to a page and say, your date in which I'm going to take your soul and spirit to be with me is, ta-da, 1995. On the same order of things, the Lord knows when the event of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 will take place, and it will be the same for all of us. That's the first set of contrasts. be first when we go to be with the Lord is incomplete. And it's incomplete because the body goes to the grave. And that's not a permanent place for anybody. Believer and unbeliever alike, by the way. On the other hand, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 deals with the soul and spirit and the body, and therefore it describes that which is complete. And that's because the whole of our being, the whole of our being is united forever to be with the Lord. That is our hope. Okay, with those contrasts then in mind, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we will do this passage in great detail because it is God's explanation of what is going to happen to us in the future. And the important thing is that it is certainly related to the present time. This is the key passage on what happens to us at death. And let's break it into its two parts. The whole passage really is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 through 5:10. That is the complete section. And the first part of it begins with our present life and sets up a series of three contrasts. So the first key words is contrasts of our present life, or contrast of our present life, chapter 4, 17 through 18. Now let's read the verses through, then we'll look at the contrast, but simply think of contrast and notice how many of them we have in these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17, and simply read it through. Let's read it through for its theme. Verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man, get the contrast? Inner man, outer man, is being renewed day by day. I have written, if you write in your Bible text, I've written in the margin, the theme of this verse is growing better while growing older. For a normal believer, that is a tremendous truth. If we grasp what is being taught in this section, then we can say this. I don't care what our aches and pains are. Every day we should be able to say in answer to this question, how are you? I am much better. You say, but you don't look much better. You're more shrivelly than you used to be. That's not the point. The point is, though this outer part decays, the inner part gets better. And so the theme involved is you are young and have nice, smooth skin, but you're not, in the true sense, as good as I am. Because two things are happening. The decay of the body, but the inner man is to continue growing, day by day. So it's growing better while growing older is the theme of that verse. And that ought to do miracles for the mental attitude of the believer. And so our first contrast is between the outer man and the inner man. And we'll take time to study what is the outer man, and in particular what is the inner man. Isn't it strange how worldly we are people so misdefine worldliness. Worldliness is not so much conduct. Worldliness is your attitude. And if you say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm not worldly. Hey, let's put us both in the same boat that we belong in. Don't we give all of our time to the outer man? Keeping it alive. Which, again, nothing wrong with that. But don't we focus here? And it's hopeless? Hopeless. And we don't focus over here, and there is hope and growth until you draw your last breath? What is so bad about dying? Isn't it all good if we have our priorities right? And so, in this verse, we'll have the contrast of the outer and inner man. And the theme will be outer man decaying, inner man developing. And the development of that inner man, which is the important thing, has nothing at all to do with our age. Well, yes, it does, doesn't it? If we're older, we've had a lot more time to develop the inner man. And if we don't do that, develop the inner man, then of course we will get crotchetier and crotchetier until we go out with whatever you go out with. Second, if priorities are not right. All right, second contrast comes down to verse 17, and you can see the contrast. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. And therefore, a second contrast is between light affliction and contrast eternal glory. And that verse discusses the contrast and the comparison between the two. The third one is in verse 18. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So our last contrast is between the temporal dash seen, S-E-E-N, and the eternal unseen. The emphasis, as you can well see in those verses, is contrast. Verse 18, as we just read, the third one. Now, with that, we move into chapter 5, and chapter 5 is an extremely important thing because its theme is confidence about our future life. Confidence about our future life. 5, 1 through 10. And notice that, in turn, divides down two ways. 5, 1 through 5. The focus is on the moment of death. Focus is on the moment of death. And he will be very careful to explain to us what happens at that moment. But notice when you come to verse 6, it begins with the word therefore. And it is simply saying we need to draw some conclusions from what happens at the moment of death about how we live now. And notice verse 6 has a therefore, and verse 9 has a therefore. And notice they are all having to do with conduct now. So verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage. Verse 9, therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. So while 5, 1 through 5 focuses on the moment of death, we have 5, 6 through 10 explaining its impact on life. You see, I really can't study the future life apart from the present life because they're interrelated.
And what we do in this life has dramatic effect on the future life, as a matter of fact. As you well know, the decision we make in this life determines the one of two destinies that we will have, either eternal life or perdition. And we'll go into those sections of Scripture.
Well, we have time now to just get started into chapter 4, 16 through 18, the contrast of our present life, and we'll just start our outline. Contrast now is outer man, inner man, contrast. And let me conclude this session by just a comment. Reading down at verse 16, the verse can be divided into two halves. And the two halves hinge on the little word yet. Because when we come to that word, something dramatic happens. Let's read the verse and see it. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, to whom is that applied? Christians are everybody. It's everybody, isn't it? Every human being has an outer man or a body that is decaying. So, chapter 4, verse 16 includes everyone. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet. Now, who just tubed out right here? To whom does the rest of the verse not apply? Yet, our inner man is being renewed day by day. And with that word yet, you just tubed out all unbelievers. Then, what is happening to the unbeliever then? Everything bad? All you can say of the unbeliever is, you're dying. And he should be reminded perhaps every morning, you're dying. It's Thursday, you're dying. It's Friday, you're deader. It's Saturday, you're dying some more. And nothing else is happening. Isn't that sad? He has no inner man, as we'll find out. There is nothing to develop. And isn't it interesting that when you look at that scene, you say, wow, what a hopeless scene. What does 1 Thessalonians say? We do not grieve as the rest who have what? No hope. Saddest thing in the world is to be an unbeliever. You do your push-ups. You're dying. You're dying. Nothing good is happening in your life. Nothing. There's no inner man developing. It's all downhill every day. And if you're without Christ and do not know Him and you're not part of His family, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And what do most people do? Party all the way. Wow, isn't it funny? Isn't life great? You're dying. You're closer to the grave than you were yesterday. We had a wonderful vacation. Yes, and you're more dead than when you went. The grave is closer. The clock is ticking. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And that is all, if you're outside of Christ, I can say to you. I don't like to say that, but that's all I can say. It's ticking toward the grave. And as we will find out, it is ticking toward the doctrine that Jesus taught, probably more than any other, hell, for your eternal state. And that is the desperate situation of the unbeliever. On the other hand, if you're a Christian, what can you say? Well, you don't look as good as you did last year, but you're sure better. The inner man is growing and growing and growing. And the growth of the inner man has nothing to do with disease. Disease cannot touch the growth of the inner man. It has nothing to do with aging. The inner man doesn't age. The inner man is capable of only one thing, as we'll find out from about five passages next hour. It can only do one thing, and that's grow. You can't get worse. You can only get better. If we focus on those proper things, and by and large, we really don't. Because if you look at verse 18, is this really true of us?
We look, and it's a word that means to fix your gaze. We fix our gaze intensely, not on the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We are fixed on that which is eternal. So for the believer, it's a wonderful thing to know that if we die tomorrow, that on that day we were better than we were the day before. There's nothing there but hope for the believer, and there's nothing less than tragedy for the unbeliever. And hopefully we'll begin to see these contrasts. We'll pick up at this point, outer man, inner man, contrast next hour. Father, we're thankful once again for your truth. We're thankful that you haven't left us in the dark. We're thankful that you've expressed your will for us. You have said, I do not want you to be uninformed. And then you tell us what you want us to know. And what you want us to know is to affect our lives so we live in a more useful way for you at the present moment. And therefore, help us to grasp this joyful, optimistic view of life that provides for us as believers through the cross work of Jesus Christ, and in whose name we pray. Amen.